Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, buddy. Welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast, where we get you ready for the showdown with the Arizona Wildcats. I'm your host, Spencer, joined, as always, by Michael.
Hello, everybody. It's Power 5 week.
It is.
It's road game week. There's a lot of things happening that are a little bit different from the first couple weeks of the season.
Yeah, road game, Power 5.
Weird time.
Super weird time.
At least for us.
Yeah. Kickoff is 9:30 p.m. Central.
Texas time.
Yeah.
Shall we get into it?
Let's jump into it.
First, you can find us on Twitter.
I was going to say, but first. You guys have done a really good job of interacting with us on Twitter, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we appreciate that, man.
But for those of you that don't follow us on Twitter, not that we're a super great follow, but at 23 Personnel, I really sold that, didn't I?
Man, you did. At. Everyone's going to want to follow the not super great follow.
I know. To the podcast account, at 23 Personnel. Mine is at Punts Suck, because they do. Michael, yours is?
At Michael underscore LBK.
For sure.
And you'll see my, you know.
The influencer.
My amount of tweets pick up slightly during football season, but I'm not going to clog your feed, that's for sure.
I think I tweet most during a game.
I haven't lately.
And then somebody that follows me that was sitting behind me in the press box asked me why I said that. I was like, I'm going to cut back on tweeting for a minute.
Well, that's the weird thing. I haven't tweeted hardly at all while we've been at the games. It's just, I don't know. It's just felt weird. But probably Saturday night when it's 12:30 and we're waiting for this thing to wrap up, I'll probably still be on there.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how I'm going to watch this game. I don't know if I'm going to try to go somewhere and watch it with somebody that I can be loud. Because you and I both have sleeping children.
Oh, yeah. I've got to.
At that time.
Yeah. I've got to keep it chill.
I don't want to. This is my first game of the season where I can actually get into it. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to be quiet if I'm at home. Anyways, we'll figure that out. I want to follow up. We did actually hear back from the listener in Odessa. He's actually on the Odessa High radio. He's got a really cool name and I've already forgotten it.
All right, I'll let you look it up. I appreciate you reaching out to us, because Spencer did mention that at the beginning of the last podcast that he had run into a friend of the show, Rob Bro, at a recent broadcast or at a recent football game in Odessa.
So it was a week ago Friday.
Yeah. So thanks for reaching out, getting in touch with us, telling us hello. While you're looking up his name, I'm going to go over one other little bit of business before we jump into full-on football mode. Corpru, with our runner-up national basketball squad, is transferring. As most of y'all know, he's under investigation with Title IX.
The way you said that was like, what did he do?
Oh, well, I mean, he's got a kind of a domestic violence accusation against him. I don't know if I said kind of. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to qualify that in any way. But that's what he has against him. He was immediately suspended, of course, once those allegations were made and the investigation was I don't know if it was public or whatever, once Beard learned of it. So anyway, he is transferring. He's officially going to be off the team, which is kind of what we have thought and most fans have thought for a long time. What this does is allows Tech to have an open scholarship. So this is something to keep an eye on during recruiting. And, you know, we won't know exactly what happened with the investigation for a while, but I hope that however it ends in the way that is best for the victim or the alleged victim, and that everything goes as smoothly as it can. I don't know how to say words around these type of things. It's just tough. I mean, it's just really tough, and I hate that he put himself in that situation, and he was one of my favorite players, really. He was, we joked around on our Slack chat all the time. We called him Mr. Efficiency because he was just always, he was like 2 for 3. He may have only scored 8 points or something in a game, but he wouldn't miss a free throw, and he'd go 2 for 3 and maybe have a steal, a couple of rebounds. He was just always really valuable while he was out there. So I hate that all this has transpired the way it has. And we will see if Beard is able to fill up that scholarship spot.
Yeah. So I found him. His name is Denver Praden.
That's a great name.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, Denver.
He says that we do a great job.
Well, we appreciate that.
I appreciate y'all giving Tech fans something to listen to, and I'll make sure to tune into the show tomorrow. This was last week.
Oh, this was for the countdown to kickoff.
Probably. Well, cool. So thanks for listening.
Yeah. Denver. Thanks a ton, Denver.
And good luck on any additional calls down there in Odessa.
Yes, sir.
You ready to talk about some football?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's do it.
They go 4 up top. They throw the fade to Vasher. Caught. Touchdown.
With time. Delivered.
Hand off. DeMarcus Fields. Down the sideline. Touchdown. Red Raiders. 97 yards.
Harrell back to throw, going deep down the sideline for Robert Johnson.
And oh, my.
He's got it. Touchdown, Red Raiders. Robert Johnson, touchdown, Red Raiders.
Take a shot to the end zone. And it's a touchdown to Reginald Davis.
All day to throw. Over the top, Jakeem Graham. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Second down now. Deep strike. Got the big man. Country. And touchdown, Red Raiders, with a second to go.
Let the scoring begin.
All right, so we are on the road this week. Texas Tech is on the road this week, taking on Arizona Wildcats. But before we get there, let's do a final wrap on UTEP.
Sure.
I think the only thing I wanted to add is, now that we've had a couple of days to kind of sit on it, what are your thoughts on offensive efficiency so far?
The actual quantifiable statistics, or just kind of my overall gut feeling?
Gut feeling, because the statistics say it's okay, it's fine.
Right.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I have not been, and a lot of people are already pointing this out, that it's possibly due to Yost kind of holding back, not calling out a lot of different plays, showing a lot of different looks for people to game plan. But it does seem that we've really had trouble getting the ball down the field. Especially, I mean, you know, 5, 7, 8 yard chunks, those are great. Or Rigdon will break free, or there'll be that perfect pass to Vasher here and there. But man, I'm a little worried. That's to answer your question. I'm a little worried about our offensive efficiency at the moment.
Yeah, I think that what we saw 2 weeks ago versus Montana State, we kind of brushed that off as first week. You know, you got the first game out of the way. You typically see a big jump between weeks one and two. You were expecting UTEP to come in here, maybe not be as good as Montana State, and it's just our expectations of UTEP that have kind of set us up for this. I wouldn't say disappointed feeling, but a little unease. This feeling of unease in regards to the offense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm looking at him like, well, we left a lot of points on the field. A lot of just strange moments where the offense just really is ineffective and inefficient. And heading into a game like Arizona this weekend or Oklahoma in 3 weeks, it's kind of worrisome that we're going to leave too many points on the field to be competitive.
Sure. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm standing too. I really, you know, we went into a little bit on the instant reaction pod. I was hoping and assuming, like you said, that they had knocked the rust off from the Montana State game. And by all accounts, UTEP was a lesser squad than the Bobcats. So I was expecting high 50s, low 60s in the scoring range, and it was nowhere near close to that. And Tech still won the game. They still won by 35.
Mm-hmm.
But
covered.
It just kind of left, maybe it's still just a coaching style thing too. But you can't really say that when it's not a coaching style to punt, or, you know, it's not a coaching style to not get the first down. That's just kind of a different thought process that I think that some people are trying to rationalize everything. But anyway, with UTEP, you know, down the road, that game's over. Tech has their first big Power 5 game coming up on Saturday. And, it, you know, just a little bit of history, recent history with Arizona. In 2017, they managed a 7-6 record under Rich Rod, and they lost to Purdue in the Foster Farms Bowl.
What's that?
I'm not sure, but it's at Levi's Stadium. So they lost that game, and then Rich Rod was gone. So 2018, Sumlin comes in. Actually, I think he was hired January of that year. Arizona went 5-7, 4-5 in Pac-12 play, Pac-16. What are they?
12.
They are 12. And just kind of a ho-hum season, which we've seen our share of here. But currently, as of 2019, they are 1-1, losing their first game in week zero, technically, against Hawaii. They lost it 45-38.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize until I watched the highlights today how that game ended. Did you know how that game ended, Spencer?
Yeah, I watched it. It was like Arizona was driving.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a fourth down or not, but it was within just a few seconds of the end of the game. Khalil Tate broke free on a run, scampered kind of across the field, and got chased down by a defensive tackle, and he was tackled at the one.
Yeah, he had the ball. They had the ball at the 31, and it went just like you said. Clock went to zero while he was running. It looked like he was going to make it, and then a tackle came from behind and got him, because I think Khalil Tate, when he cut back inside the field, instead of cutting out towards the corner, he cut back in towards the goalpost, and that was exactly where that tackle was running. And I'm pretty sure the linebacker that was supposed to spy on him whiffed big on a tackle. There was another big whiff. I mean, it was crazy how this game ended.
Yeah.
So it came right down to the last bit of it. You know, I mean, Tate played well, and this is obviously who we're going to focus on. At least who I'm going to focus on.
Well, them and the running backs, really.
Yeah.
Him and the running backs.
Yeah. That's really what we need to look at. You know, when it comes to defense, I think I have it on here somewhere. They're ranked. Oh, well, no, it's not their defense. It's their penalties. They're ranked dead last. They have a total of 21 penalties for 215 yards in these first two games. And they had, let's see, how many did they have against? Actually, don't have the number up in front of me for Hawaii, but the way things went with Hawaii, you know, their first three possessions started out with an interception, then a three and out, and then a three and out. And so they went scoreless in the first quarter and then still came back, you know, like crazy in the second quarter, had 21 points. Mm-hmm. This was something I pointed out earlier this week on Twitter, is they've had three quarters where they've had three touchdowns or more. They had one against Hawaii, and then they had two the following week against Northern Arizona. They had one quarter of 21 points, one quarter of 30.
That's so a lot of points.
They can score. And they can score on probably anybody.
The problem, though, is their defense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not that total defense is a great measure, but if you look at where Arizona ranks in terms of total yards or yards given up per game, they are ranked 123rd in the country. So they give up a ton of yards.
They had another thing, too, is they have, I think they're plus six on the turnover margin.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is because Cole McDonald, of no relation, threw four passes to him. Hawaii's quarterback threw four passes to him that first game. So that really kind of helps things out. One of them was a tip. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm. Their pass defense, though, averages giving up 404 yards a game, which is good for 126th in the country.
Yikes.
Rush yards per game, which I think is a better measure of how long a defense is on the field, they rise all the way up to 45th. Rush defense, Texas Tech comes in at 35th. And then points per game, which I think is also interesting to follow, Texas Tech is tied for third.
Okay.
Arizona is 126. And they've given up 86 points in two games. Texas Tech has given up 13. Also, if you want to look at efficiencies, and this is an ESPN stat it's scored based on each unit's contribution on a per play basis and then adjusted for strength of schedule and downweighted for garbage time. So team efficiencies, offense, Arizona comes in at number 11. So
wow.
On offense, they're pretty good.
Yes.
In terms of being efficient. Defense, though, they come in 112th.
So they're kind of a mirror of what Texas Tech was about 3 years ago.
I say, this is very much like what Texas Tech used to be. Texas Tech comes in at 34th in defensive efficiency.
Right.
And quick Googling, 53rd in offensive efficiency.
Okay, so there's not a stark, huge difference between those. But that's what we were just talking about earlier. Tech's offensive efficiency is worse than their defensive efficiency, which is a kind of an odd conundrum to be in. Sure, mm-hmm. It could be because of the opponents. We may check back in on that stat in the next 3 or 4 weeks and see if it's flip-flopped or if it's gotten more out of whack. Who knows? But, you know, we're focusing more on this Hawaii game on purpose, I think, because last week Northern Arizona was drubbed by the Arizona 65-41. Khalil Tate left the game with 9:42 left in the second quarter, and they were up 35-7 with 9:42 left in the second quarter.
So after 20 minutes of game time, he came out?
Yeah, he came out. He did play because I listened to there was the Inside the Arizona Athletics podcast, which was basically their version of having Sumlin at a restaurant and asked him some questions on Monday night. And it was kind of interesting to listen to because that crazy Monday night football game was going on in the background that the Saints ended up winning on a last second field goal. But, so Tate left the game with 9:42 left in the second quarter against Northern Arizona, but he did play the first series at the start of the second half. And listening to Sumlin's podcast, he mentioned that that was the plan all along, was he wanted Gunnell, who's their backup QB, he wanted him to get some valuable minutes in the second quarter no matter what. But, you know, you can say that now and say that that was the plan all along, but I'm sure, I don't know if he thought they were going to be up 35-7 6 minutes into the second quarter. So anyway, Gunnell came in and he played way more minutes overall than Tate, I believe. And he even had, I mean, he was 9-for-11 with 151 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Tate finished the game 14-for-17, only 3 incompletions, 138 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. That's in basically less than a half.
Right. But still, what gets me is that they gave up 41 points in Northern Arizona.
Right. The only thing that...
Which they had a 51-13 lead at the half.
They did, but...
Huge lead at half, and they came back and scored... Is that 28 points in the second half?
It's true. It looks... I think it looks worse than it is because Sumlin played 72 of the 74 players that were on the sidelines. Everyone played but 2 guys. I feel
How
bad
much
for
would
those.
It suck to be those 2 guys.
I know. They even covered that on that podcast, but I feel really bad for those 2 guys. But I took that as they rotated the kitchen sink in and just let it ride. So I wouldn't look into that too terribly much. I think they were playing second, third string guys, possibly in the third quarter. I mean, third string, third quarter, and then who knows, fourth quarter. Maybe there was this guy that played cornerback in high school, and they want to see what he looks like, even though he's currently an inside receiver. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Throw him out there. Let's see what he does. So I think they kind of knew this game was going to be something they could experiment with. And even in that game, though, and this I think this is partially blown up because of it, they had 11 penalties for 127 yards. Which, you know, that like I said earlier, that puts them dead last at 130th in yardage of penalty yards per game at 107.5 yards per game. So that's something that Tech could take advantage of. They've played really clean football these first 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're able to win the penalty battle, which is something that's always been a plague of Texas Tech for 20 years, it seems like that could really work in Tech's favor. They have a cornerback, Jace Whitaker, who leads the nation in interceptions. He had 2 against Hawaii. He got his 3rd against Northern Arizona. He's someone who's able to cut in and kind of read the quarterback's eyes and see where the ball's going to go. So they'd have to be careful with that, that's for sure. But just watching that film, just the highlights of Hawaii, 2 things I noticed that are kind of, well, no duh things to notice is that Khalil Tate is going to be really hard to stop,
mm-hmm.
because even when they would, when they would just rush 3, he'd throw on you all day. Or when they would just rush 3, he would run on you. Or they would blitz and he would dump it off and then they'd gain, you know, 17 yards or something like that. because there was no one there to stop him. He'd dump it off on like a little screen pass kind of thing and get rid of the ball quick. Or he was able to dance around the blitz and take off himself. So how do you attack this kid? If you blitz him, he still may move on you, or he'll throw the ball over you. If you don't blitz him, he's accurate enough to get it to his receivers, or he'll just take off eventually, and you'll wish you'd had gotten some better pressure on him.
I think with what we've seen from Texas Tech so far, you got to continue to stay aggressive. You got to force him to either make plays with his feet, because I don't think he's that great of a passer, but I don't think you can win by just sitting back and hoping he throws you the ball. I think you kind of have to press that matter. You've got to put some pressure on him.
Yeah.
And then I do have enough faith in what I've seen so far in the defense and being able to tackle people in the open field. Now, you'll have to have somebody there to tackle, right? But the thing that gets me is I don't have a great feeling about this game, but like all of the statistical models favor Texas Tech.
And yeah,
it's
they
weird.
Do. They do.
Like, it's usually the opposite way. It's like, well, the stats say this one thing, but I have a really good feeling about this game. It's the opposite way around. It's like, I don't have a great feeling about this game, probably because I don't like going up against a mobile quarterback, which we've talked about before, but you outrank Arizona in every statistical ranking there is, or rating. If you look at ESPN's Football Power Index, FPI, you come in at 40th. Arizona comes in at 60th. You have a win probability percent, or Texas Tech win probability percentage of greater than 50%. So you're favored to win this game. The betting line, even, not that that's a statistical model, currently has Texas Tech as a 2.5-point favorite on the road, with nearly 80% of the bets coming in for Texas Tech.
Yeah. Well, I think that opened.
It opened, at, I think, at 2.
Yeah.
And then it got to 3.5 at one point.
I remember it moving up there.
Which is probably where it's not like 100, like where it's kind of balanced out at 2.5 right now. If you look at S&P, Texas Tech comes in at 39th nationally. Arizona's at 63rd. Adam McClintock has Texas Tech at 51st, Arizona 63rd, Sagarin, Texas Tech at 19, Arizona at 74. So that is your biggest margin in terms of where you and Arizona are ranked. And this system gives Tech 83% favorite, or has Texas Tech as an 83% favorite to beat Arizona.
Wow.
Which is nuts. You don't usually see those kind of odds on a road team coming in.
Yeah, I wanted to, well, the other thing I wanted to mention briefly was just, I think when Tech has the ball, that they should be able to pass over the middle. The middle seemed to be open quite a bit. A lot of those Hawaii highlights, I don't know what it is, and maybe it's a miscommunication or what, but sure, the sides were open here and there, but it seemed like a lot of those highlights were just passes over the middle. Guys were open. No one was around them. So that may be something to look for. But I also wanted to look at how well Hawaii did this last week, because, mm-hmm. you know, how great are they? Are they really that bad? Are they that good or what? Now keep in mind, Hawaii is in the Mountain West Conference, which is a group of five, right?
Yep.
Not a power five. And so far they've played two power five teams and beaten them both. They played Oregon State just this week,
which admittedly is a terrible power five
yeah,
team.
Not a great power five team, but still a power five team. Knocked them out 31-28. And this was after Oregon State was ahead 28-21 at halftime. So Hawaii came out, did not allow Oregon State to score another point the rest of the game, and came out with a win. So I don't want to put too much on, you know, Hawaii is just, man, they're going to make the playoff this year somehow, or anything like that. but they're a pretty decent team. And so I think the fact that Arizona lost to them doesn't mean too much yet. I think it's still too early to tell. Because I kind of felt that way beforehand. You know, Hawaii had some talented guys. They were able to move the ball. They contained Tate a little bit there in the first quarter. And were able to intercept him a couple of times. Of course, one of them, at least one, was a tip pass. But they have some talent there. And I think that the fact that they beat Arizona doesn't mean that, oh my gosh, Arizona's terrible. We're just going to steamroll them.
No, I don't think that we can look at what Arizona's done so far and just say that they're terrible. Now, their stats aren't great, but when you have an athlete like Tate and their running backs, I think you're pretty good at thinking that they can move the ball and score on offense. Obviously, the biggest thing, though, is their defense so far, even against bad competition, has just been awful.
Right. It's a lot of holes.
It's reminiscent of Texas Tech several years ago, where just like your offense is really, really good. Defense couldn't, I mean, it couldn't stop anybody. So I think with how bad their defense is, and it's interesting to point at somebody else having a really terrible defense, and we know what that actually looks like.
Yeah.
I'm talking myself into believing some of these statistical projections or models or whatever you want to call them that has Texas Tech favored in this game. I don't know if you want to get to a projection just yet.
Well, I mean, I'm working around to it because I don't know if I'm there yet. I know what the numbers say. I know how well Tech's defense has played these first two games, especially last game. I mean, they really played well. But I'm afraid I'm going to discount it a little bit too much, possibly, with how the competition actually was.
That's what some of these models are supposed to take into account.
I know they're supposed to take that into account, but I kind of want to... Man, I don't know. It's hard to just say it out loud, but I think I'm going to pick Arizona to win this one. What are your thoughts on that?
On you picking Arizona?
Yeah.
Well, I think it... Let me go back to our predictions.
I don't want them to win, guys. Y'all know that, right?
I don't
want them to win.
It doesn't sound like you want them to win.
But the... What we hinted at earlier, just kind of the stutter steps on offense that we saw against Montana State, which were not that bad, but then seemed a little bit worse against UTEP in home games, has led me to believe that, man, these guys, the way Tate plays and the way that these guys carry the ball and move the ball, they've got, I mean, J.J. Taylor's a solid running back. They've got some really good receivers. I think Cunningham and Barry Hill III are probably a couple of their leaders. But they worry me, man. I'm not sure. Tech hasn't faced an offense quite like this year, not even close. They haven't faced a guy that's thrown 39 passes in a game, you know, and then the next game they only attempted 28 passes against Northern Arizona, but because the game was handily over with 9 minutes left in the first half. So I'm a little worried that a couple of things are going to have to go right, and I'm not sure if we're there yet. I'm not sure if Tech's offense is going to be consistently almost drive for drive perfect.
I don't think you have to be, but I do think their defense can help you be that.
Right. You're talking me back into it. No, I want to see it first. Sure. I want to see first before I put my toe in that water.
Because if you go back just a couple of weeks, we both picked this game as a loss.
Yeah.
Now, I'm more leaning towards a win here, but I had Texas Tech at 75. I would actually trade out one of the other wins I had on the schedule for this one. I think you're more likely to win this Arizona game than I thought
Kansas
you were.
State.
And switch it with Kansas State, which I had as a win, and say that we're more likely to lose to Kansas State now after I've seen what they've done the first couple of weeks.
I told you I was worried about Kleiman, but I didn't know he would get stuff rolling marked this fast. Yeah.
You got that marked down as a loss.
I figured he would have won 5 or 6 games maybe at the most by the time they played Tech, and they would really be rolling by the time they played Tech. And who knows now? After Ames Day this week, we'll kind of see if Kansas State is actually going to be the third dog in the Big 12, or if it's still going to be Iowa State. I'm unsure.
Isn't this the game they call Farmageddon?
Is it Iowa versus Iowa State?
No,
it might be.
No, I thought it was Kansas,
you know,
State,
what?
Iowa State.
Farmageddon football.
Anyways, so I think I'm leaning more towards Texas Tech beating Arizona this weekend. I think it's going to be a close game. And I think it's going to be something like
Iowa State, Kansas State's Farmageddon, by the way. You think the score is going to be like what?
At 2.5, I'm going to pick Texas Tech to cover and go like 41-38. It'd be a close game, obviously. Okay. Texas Tech has been in that 42-45 point range. You'll be on the road against a terrible defense. I think you get what you would lose by playing on the road by playing the Arizona defense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I just think your defense is just good enough to hold them to one possession less than you.
I'm thinking kind of along the lines of Tech can't get the offense going for whatever reason, and you are able to contain Arizona, but possibly there's a pick six type situation or a bad turnover that gives them excellent field position, and ultimately you go down 35-31, something like that. That's where I'm at. I don't pick us scoring 41 when we couldn't do it against UTEP. That's where I'm currently sitting, which is not a great place to be. I'm still excited about this game. Anything can happen, guys. And I'm not trying to be negative. Y'all know that. But I'm trying to be real. Just trying to be real with you guys, you know. What do they always say on the real world? Isn't there some,
I couldn't tell you.
When life stops being something and starts being, whatever it is. But that's in my heart right now, guys. That's how I'm feeling. So anyway, I wanted to...
UTEP's defense is marginally worse than Arizona's. So it's 125 for UTEP, 112 for Arizona.
So we could score 39 on them? What do those numbers mean?
I'm just saying.
They were so terrible that everyone was saying how bad UTEP was when we were getting ready to play them, and that score didn't really come out like we thought it would.
Well, winning by 35 is not that bad.
Oh, it's not.
I don't think you're going to beat Arizona by 35. I think you're going to beat them by 3. But I'm still going to take Texas Tech to win this one and keep my season projection at 7-5 for now.
Yeah.
And flip the results between Arizona and Kansas State.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Oh, I wanted to mention a couple other little tidbits that Sumlin shared on the podcast. He had this to say about Vasher, which I thought was great. Quote, "They've got a receiver who's a real nightmare." So that's not too bad. That's a nice compliment to be called a real nightmare. I like that.
And you're sure he's talking about Vasher?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
He was for sure talking about Vasher because he said his name later. Just kind of wanted to point out a couple other things. He said that, and I didn't think about this, but he said, really, Tucson's closer to Lubbock than Houston is to Lubbock. So we're recruiting a lot of the same guys, which is kind of interesting, talking about he and Wells. He agreed that Tech hasn't shown a lot offensively because they haven't had to.
Which I don't know if I really buy into that. Like, I'm not...
You're not sure about that?
I'm not like super familiar with the Yost offense. Didn't know that like what we've seen isn't what Yost typically calls. That just the execution hasn't been there. Like there's been a lot of tackles that were made that kept plays from breaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be like something like some big, huge switch that gets flipped now that we're not playing garbage teams. And obviously the offense is going to look different or be like this offense is so much better than it was 2 weeks ago or whatever.
That's a good thought.
I mean, just think it has to do with execution and doing everything else right than it is Yost calling a different play because of who the opponent is.
That could have something to do with it. There's a theory that he wants Bowman to be more comfortable, which is why there's all these screen passes and these little short passes.
Well, when you've got really fast guys like Rigdon and White and Mannix,
yeah,
whatever, like short passes can be long passes in a, you know, blink of an eye. Like one missed tackle and Rigdon's got 49 yards. Although Rigdon didn't force a missed tackle on Saturday when he scored that touchdown. But there was one exact same play where he ran for almost 20 yards and he was barely tripped up. So he could have had two long scores in the exact same play.
Yeah. We'll see what he ends up calling. I mean, Yost, it may be the exact same plan, hopefully just executed a little bit more efficiently. And with this defense being susceptible to an offense just kind of running and scoring all over him, we'll see if Tech's able to take advantage of that.
Yeah. So like I said, give me Tech -2.5 to win 41-38.
Give me Zona 35-31, and I don't like it.
Pink Raider.
Whatever, man.
Now. Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Who's in the box? What's in the box?
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
All right, we got several questions sent into the show this afternoon.
We did?
We did.
Well, okay. I've only seen like one or two.
The first question came from Chad Hasty, and he said, predictions for the show or for the game?
Well, you didn't read your tweet, so that has no context.
I said, we're previewing this weekend's matchup against the Arizona Wildcats. Send us your questions, thoughts, and predictions for the show tonight.
Oh, okay. See, now he could have predicted that we would talk about some form of food, well, but we haven't yet.
See, he asked predictions for the show or the game, and I responded both.
Yeah.
And then he didn't respond to that.
Oh, Chad.
Let's get it together. Cooper Burnett, playing a team tied for first in the nation in turnover margin, +6, and having forced no turnovers yet ourselves, -2, is the turnover battle the biggest key of the game? I think if you're forcing the Arizona offense to turn the ball over, you're doing a whole lot better to slow them down than expecting them to stop them. Like, sorry.
You got it. I think I know where you're going. You're
going to have a better shot at slowing them down if you're forcing turnovers than if you're just staying back and trying to make sound tackles on 10 play drives.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I think that's a very valid point, Cooper, because that's something that always gets brought up in these press conferences about how, you know, Utah State had the highest turnovers and the nation or whatever last year, some crazy number. And what Wells said in the press conference this week was when they come, they'll come in bunches. And I'm not sure if that's exactly how turnovers work, but it could be. And if it does, it'd be nice if it worked out this weekend in Arizona to where, hey, we got a fumble. And then next thing you know, we got an interception and oh man, hey, another interception. So I think that's a big key of the game. And I would really point to penalties being a big key of the game.
Absolutely.
If this is the most penalized team in the league, man, I hope that Tech's able to take advantage of that and you know, come away with three or four flags on their own, and then Arizona's stuck over there with 11 or 12, just
again
shooting themselves in the foot.
This team reminds me so much of Texas Tech.
It really does. And
from a couple of years ago, and it's just kind of not funny, but like the coincidences of like how it mirrors Cliff Kingsbury's Texas Tech.
Yeah,
when Kingsbury coached for Sumlin,
and you don't want to count on the other team getting penalized, but it seems like a very good possibility. You also wouldn't want to count on getting turnovers because that's not a great defensive strategy. But I think they're kind of the same game plan. I think they're both big keys of the game.
Sure,
and that's something that we should definitely keep our eyes on.
Also, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a factor will the U of A crowd be?
I think they sell beer there too. I would put it
7.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had in my head. I mean, 7, possibly 8. It's a night game for them. It starts at 7:30 their time, so they'll be hyped and ready to go.
I'm sure their stadium will be packed.
Sure, and they'll be ready to see a Big 12, or not, maybe not Big 12, a Power 5 school in their stadium. They'll be pumped to see that, just like we would, or we will, I'm assuming, when we play Arizona next year. Is that right? It is a home and home, right?
Yes.
I didn't know if it was one of those weird home this year and then, or away this year, then 3 years from now it's home again. I think it'll be a pretty big factor because they're going to be rowdy and they're going to be ready to go.
All right, Tyler Timmons, over under 70 rushing yards for Tate. I'm going to let you go first.
I'm taking the over on that.
Give me the under.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, he may get like 50 or 60, which is still going to, it's going to feel like a lot for a quarterback, right? For him to pick up 50 or 60 yards. I think Arizona's offense is much more suited to running the ball. So I think they're going to try to run it a whole lot with Tate and their three or four running backs they have. Then they're trying to pick your defensive secondary apart. So I think they'll have more rushing yards than you would like, but I think it'll kind of even out.
Well, he had, just for some context, he had he rushed 13 times for 108 yards against Hawaii, but then he only rushed twice for 1 yard against Northern Arizona. So that sounds like I'm not sure the context of that. It could have just been a couple scrambles or a botched snap. Who knows? It doesn't sound like it was really a designed couple of runs for him to have. His longest run against Northern Arizona on those two carries was 1 yard. So he averaged, here it is. It was at the goal line, apparently, because he has a rushing touchdown, and it was one of the two carries for a total of 1 yard. So he wasn't utilized at all against Northern Arizona. That may have been the game plan. That may have been something they wanted to completely limit the chance of him getting hurt, getting out there and running in space. But I could see him, you know, it wouldn't be crazy if he picked up 5 or 6 yards here and there and then maybe broke one for 20. I could see it happening.
When did Kevin Sumlin go to Arizona? Was it 2018?
It was January of 2018. Yeah, this is his second.
Okay, because I keep thinking back to what Brian says, that Kevin Sumlin has broken Khalil Tate or doesn't know how to use him. Because if you look at 2017 Khalil Tate stats, played in 11 games, rushed 153 times for 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns. 2018, played in 11 games, rushed 74 times, so just about half as many times for 224 yards. So his average rush went from 9 yards to 3 yards in Sumlin's first year. 2 rushing touchdowns versus the 12 the year before Sumlin got there. 1,200 fewer rushing yards. So I don't think it's a Khalil Tate thing. I think it's a Kevin Sumlin thing.
Well, obviously, yeah.
That's holding him back. So I don't think he's just going to bust out on him, because if he gets 100 rushing yards against you, like, he'll match what he's got already this season and half of what he did all of last season in one game.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I didn't realize he was limited that much under Sumlin. Sumlin, that surprises me. I think I knew it was bad or different, that he was trying to use him in a different way and it wasn't going very well. Obviously, they only won 5 games last year. Hey, welcome to the club. But
he's a
really talented kid that the thing I remember the most about him is when they were coach shopping was how vocal he was about not wanting to run the triple option. He didn't come to Arizona to run the triple option.
Yeah. If you have a guy that's talented like that, I don't understand how he's not using him in a way that maximizes his talent.
Yeah, and it sounds like against Northern Arizona, he made a decision, okay, we're only going to rush him unless if it's a sneak or you know, 4th-and-1 or something like that. And that was all they did.
Right. So he's rushed 15 times on the year, what you just said, for 109 yards. His per rush average is back up to 7 yards. So what is that? Again, rushing for about 70.
Well, shoot, before the Northern Arizona game, it was 8.3. So yeah. he was able to really scoot against Hawaii.
Yeah, so he's on pace to rush 90 times for 700 yards.
Ah, I love on pace guy.
On the season? I'm here to be your on pace guy. Yeah, so I thanks for sending in your questions, everybody. Michael, you promised to have a going yard bumper. Do you have anything?
Yeah, I remember I sent it to you on Slack chat.
Oh, that one clip?
It's like a six second clip. That's okay. All we need. Okay,
hold on. Let me find it.
Because do you actually have something to say on going yard?
I do.
Okay, I don't. But
of course you don't.
But yeah, you're welcome.
Besides, you had your guys come out and mow. I saw that.
Yeah, they mowed today.
Looks nice. Short.
Thank you.
All right, here we go.
Why would anyone do drugs when they could just mow a lawn?
There you go.
It's true. Because guess what? I mowed my lawn tonight. It was nice. So here's what's going on. It is... Fall is coming. Fall's a great time to overseed your cool season yard, cool season lawn. Mm-hmm. What I'm working on is shortening the lawn. I'm cutting it short.
Yeah.
To give room, one, to get new grass seed down to the dirt, but also give it time for the new grass seed to start growing again before I have to mow. So you have to cut it pretty short. I'm going to work my way down. I'm on the second to the highest setting. I mowed Saturday. I mowed today. Grateful to get in there before, you know, in this extra rain, because it's supposed to rain all week and then it didn't rain today, so it was dry enough to mow. Getting ready to overseed next weekend, 21st. I'll probably mow a couple more times to lower it a few more times, put some new grass seed down, and enjoy the fall fescue yard. That's all I got, really.
Okay, that's good. I got nothing to add.
Are we surprised?
No.
I just don't know. All right. One more thing. Let's get to what did we learn this week, Michael?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
I guess I could call you Palmer when we start this.
Yeah, sure. You can call me Palmer.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know either.
Let's see. I learned that the Ken Burns documentary about country music starts this weekend, and it's something I've had my eyes on for a while. I'm pretty excited about it, but I also learned that cord cutting and trying to DVR PBS is an issue because it is not available on Hulu Live, so I can't DVR it there. I would have to physically purchase a DVR and connect it to my antenna to record it that way. Or I have to download an app to my Fire Stick and or a Roku stick. And then I think I can stream it from there, but I'm unsure if it's on a delay. I would assume it is. I probably can't watch it till Monday night. But anyway, Ken Burns, I think I've talked about him before, makes great documentaries. I highly recommend. I think, of course, the Vietnam War he did a couple of years ago, which was just excellent. The war itself about World War II, sorry. And then I think the Dust Bowl may be my personal favorite just because it really talks about how that time impacted this area. You know, Lubbock was kind of out of it. I think Lubbock was, you know, I'm sure they were affected by it, and they had maybe an influx of people from the north in the panhandle who were truly affected by it come down. But I think Lubbock was a little bit out of the Dust Bowl area. But the folks up in the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas, of course, were super affected by it. And that was, I think that may have been one of my favorite documentaries of his, just because it was so relevant to where we live. And, you know, of course, my dad farmed too. So that kind of always is something in the back of my mind about how we till the soil, how it's what's better for just producing crops or what's better for just the soil in general, and just kind of the philosophies behind what started this whole Dust Bowl thing anyway, these landowners that lived way off and all they cared about was getting as much wheat planted as they could, and then who cares what happens after that. So anyway, I didn't mean to go on a tangent about...
Oh, yeah, you did.
About crop rotation, but... or irrigation, but here we are. So anyway, that's what I learned. Ken Burns' country music documentary. Pretty psyched about it. I'm psyched about a PBS documentary. This is where I am in life. What did you learn, Spencer?
I learned you all are going to get some bonus countdown to kickoff this week.
That's right.
With the late game, we're going to start at the top of the hour like we normally do. But instead of it being 3 hours before kickoff, it'd be 3.5 hours before kickoff.
Yeah,
we'll
buddy.
We'll go on the air at 6:05.
Where do we go on the air, Spencer?
We go on the air at Talk 1340. So you can tune in locally on 1340 AM. You can find us streaming on the website, kkam.com, or the Talk 1340 app.
Which is a pretty nifty little app. Sends you a little update when...
If you forget when we go on,
yeah.
Rob sends out a push notification as we start the show.
Yep.
We'll be joining Rob Bro, of course, host Carson Robinson and Tucker Lowrance on the ones and twos.
Yep. Tucker Lowrance does a good job producing the show, of course, and chiming in with some scores that we can all cuss and discuss.
A lot of scores to talk about.
Yeah, I know. And
this will be one of the last games on.
The Patriots news had just hit the wire when we went on the air last week, and Tucker's a big Patriots fan, so he was pretty excited about the Antonio Brown news.
I would recommend you all listen to the show either on the website or on the mobile app. You get audio straight from the board as opposed to audio over an AM wavelength.
Right.
The AM radio signal is quite degraded.
It's probably not as friendly to my twang is this podcast medium.
It's good though. Follow Rob Bro at Rob Bro Show. Remember, he's Cajun. BREAUX at Rob Bro Show. You can follow the station at Talk 1340. Follow Carson at Car Robs with KARROB _ radio. And you can follow Tucker at Tucker Lowrance, LOWRANCE.
Yeah. And if you tune in, you'll get to hear us make some more terrible picks. I think we had a consensus one for four. Yeah. Or 1 for 5. No one listened to me when I say to take Kansas in the points. Or not the points. Take Kansas to cover a 7.5
point spread. I took Coastal Carolina, baby.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina took it to them.
Not only did they cover, they won.
They won.
Outright
in their house. Painful.
Of course it's painful when you pay an opponent to come in and then you lose to them.
Yep. That's rough.
I think the rest of them, I felt pretty good at Texas -6.5. And I think they ended up losing by 7.
Yeah. They didn't cover either.
It's kind of brutal. Anyways, tune in to the Countdown to Kickoff show. We will be on the air 6 to 8:30 p.m. There's the bonus segment as we were talking about, extra 30 minutes this week. Every passing week, I get more excited to do the show and less nervous. Also find out that talk radio is held together by a bunch of duct tape.
Yeah, it's a lot of wing in it.
So make sure you tune in, listen to us all cuss and discuss the college football day, talk about the Texas Tech Arizona game that's coming up. 6 to 8:30 p.m. Saturday night.
Yeah. Check us out. Talk 1340.
For Michael, I'm Spencer. Thanks for joining us on the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm shooting website worldwide. Manhattan all the way to Yonkers. When it say Brooklyn stands up, you better just fix your posture. And-